is not a diet. This is a lifestyle, and it's a mind-changing lifestyle. You have to renew your thinking about
Yeah, about
health
food and
and
food.
weight loss and who you are and what your identity is. That's what you have to decide first, is who am I? Am I somebody that's going to give up because society tells me that this ain't going to work? Or am I somebody who's going to persevere and, keep my eye on the prize no matter how long it takes?
Hey y'all, welcome to Chat with Coach Amy, where every conversation is a step towards a happier and healthier you. I'm your host, Coach Amy Gaskin, certified in life coaching, health coaching, and the Trim Healthy Lifestyle. In each episode, we'll jump into real stories of transformation, health tips that actually work, and the little joys of life that keep us all going. Whether you're on your couch, on a run, or stuck in traffic, I'm here for you each week to bring a sprinkle of sunshine and a boost of energy to your day. It's time to get inspired, get moving, and time for me to get chatting. Let's jump into today's episode, y'all. Hey, y'all, welcome back to Chatting with Coach Amy. Today I'm with Cindy Kiefer, Kafir. How do you say it? Oh, it cracks me up when people say kefir as in the dairy product and they say kefir. And I'm like, why y'all saying it like that?
Because it's German and we're Southerners and we don't get it.
Oh, I wanted to show you this. It says being Southern is my superpower.
That's hilarious.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I haven't used this in a really long time. It has a lot of good stickers on it. This one says it's your turn to bloom. One of my blooms sent that to me. Isn't that
I
cute?
love that.
And I got a friend's one. Am I keeping promises? So, yeah, some Bible verses. How
For
are
me.
you? How are
I'm
you?
wonderful. I'm good
Good.
this morning.
I'm okay. I'm better.
Yeah,
Better.
you look better this morning.
Yeah, yesterday was rough.
Yeah.
But the doctor got me some. I am on a little bit of pain medication, just a little, because it was getting a little intense, the little sinus surgery recovery, but it's all good. We're gonna be fine.
It takes time.
He did. He told the nurse to remind me that he said, remind her it was a very intense surgery and it's going to take time. She needs to be patient. And I'm like, I just want to feel like myself.
You're such a go-getter. You can't stop like I
It's
can.
so
Just
hard.
keep it and
You're
go.
like that too. You understand, but
Yeah, I get
yeah.
it.
Yeah. All right, girl. Let's hear your story.
Oh, which one do you want to know? Well, it's all
From the beginning.
together.
I was born. No, I'm just kidding.
I won't go back that far. But I've been married to my husband for almost 32 years. We dated 3 years before we got married because he's a CPA and he had to finish college. We had to buy a house and we had to be out of debt before he would get married. So
Wow.
we had all that done. And then the health journey actually started the year after we got married. We thought, oh, we're going to wait 5 years for kids, but we were in our very late 20s. And so before we were married a year, we were both like, we want a baby. And so we tried for 5 years on our own to have a baby. And during that time, I knew I had a problem because from my very first period, I had intense cramps and then I would not feel good for 3 weeks out of the month. And then I would be okay for about a week and then would all start over again. It's a cycle. And so during that 5 years, we kept going to the doctors here where I live. We're very close to a world-renowned medical center in Houston, but where I live in Podunk, Texas, the people here are good doctors, but they're not for women who are sick. And
Right.
so after about 5 years of struggling, I had a friend that I worked out with. And she said, why don't you go to this doctor? I have a friend going to this doctor in Houston. So I did. And that doctor was like, oh, girlfriend, we got problems. And it turned out that I had endometriosis from the top of my pointed head to my toes, wrapped around a bunch of organs and stuff. And then also had PCOS, which brings in the metabolic thing that I had my whole life because I was an overworked girl my whole life. And then the road to getting there was through all the fertility treatments and, having all these specialty tests run and that kind of stuff and them kind of figuring things out, as it went. But we ended up finally, we lost two babies, one before the daughter that I have and one after. But we do have a 20-year-old miracle that's, you know, in college now and getting ready to graduate next May in 2025. So, but that road took us down to trying to figure out why I was always overweight and why I was always hungry and why, you know, things never worked for me. So after I had my daughter, during the course of the endometriosis treatment and the figuring out the PCOS and stuff, endometriosis had actually grown down into my bowel. And so I had to start seeing a GI specialist.
Wow.
And so when they did my hysterectomy, they cut a foot of my bowel out because it was infected with the endometriosis growing into it. And so the next year I had my hysterectomy in 2005 and 2006, that doctor told me, if you do not have weight loss surgery, you will die. Yeah. This baby that you worked so hard to get here. And you, I used to tell my husband when we were going on the ups and downs of the fertility treatment thing, because that's a whole nother roller coaster, that I would swallow glass and walk through fire to have a kiddo. And that's exactly what I did. We did together, actually.
Yeah.
But, and that was the same thing when they told me weight loss surgery at first. I was like, no, I'm not doing that. That's the easy way out. That's only for people who don't try. You know, I'm a go-getter. We'll figure this out. And, you know, I had done the diet and exercise, and that GI doctor actually had me doing the Zone by Dr. Barry Sears. I was successful. I lost 100 pounds and then found out I was pregnant after my IVF.
Wow.
And so it was amazing, you know, that I lost that weight, but the Zone was very restrictive. Mm-hmm. You had to make sure that 40, 30, 30 balance was there and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It was craziness. And so when you tell me weight loss surgery, I was like, no, no, no. So for 3 months, I fought with that doctor and he finally said, you know what? I'm going to say it one more time. You're going to die if you don't do this because your body's just such a mess. And so in 2006, I had it done. And it was when the FDA had approved the lap band. I had a lap band done. I did so good for like 9 years. I was telling you yesterday, my doctor used to call me his star patient, his poster child, because I lost 123 pounds, which is unheard of for the band. Most weight loss surgery, people don't realize, they don't promise you you're going to lose all your weight. You'll lose a certain percentage. So at that time, the band was like 65% of your excess weight to try to get you to a normal BMI or one that's just slightly overweight. But I lost more than that. And then I told you yesterday, I'm 5 foot tall. I weighed 118 pounds in my 40s.
Wow.
You know, a little small for that age.
Yes.
But I have never been athletic in school because I was picked on because I was so big. And they didn't make clothes now, like for plus size women when I was a kid. You know, that was a whole nother deal. I turned to being a good student, and people didn't know I was funny because nobody really, you know, talked to me except for my close friends. And then I was in band. I was a really, I was a music major when I first went to college. I was going to be a director. Yeah. Musical education. And then I got all the way to student teaching. My dad, I was like, told my dad, I love being a teacher, but I don't want to teach band. And he said, you know what? The first 5 years are on you. If you graduate from college, the rest is on me. The first 5 years was on me. The next however many years when you graduate is on you. So so people didn't know anything about me, really.
Right.
But so I had never had the freedom of being that small. And it was like Christmas every single day.
Wow.
And I began to be a runner. I told you, you know, I ran and I got to where I ran races. I was running 35 to 40 miles a week, but I didn't realize that I was torching my adrenals. I started, the closer I got to 50, I started getting up in the middle of the night with night sweats and just couldn't, you know, get going and all that kind of stuff. So my general practitioner said, sounds like your cortisol is bad. Let's check it. And when he checked it, I had no cortisol in my system at all.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was. And I, of course, I'm an overcomer. So I was like, I'm just tired. You know, I just need to sleep more. So he told me, you can't run like that anymore. You just can't do that to your body. So, and that was about the time also when my first weight loss surgery said, see ya, checked out on me. Because the band, they didn't know it when they approved it, because the studies had only gone out to about 5 years. That a lot of people, and even though I was not overeating, I was not stuffing it full like a lot of people do. My esophagus was, when I was swallowed, looked like a martini glass kind of.
Wow.
And so food couldn't go down. Wow. And so it went back up.
Right.
So I started to eat the easy things, things that we consider slider foods.
How long was this after the surgery?
It was about 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And I did extremely well. The only, I got to be a prisoner to the scale though, because any little fluctuation freaked me out.
Yep.
Because I'd never
that
had that.
So common. I don't care what you've had done or gone through. It is so mm-hmm. common.
And yeah, the scale becomes a master, and then you know, you bow down to that. Well, you have to decide who you're going to, you know, which master you're going to follow. Mm-hmm. And so.
It's the scale, y'all.
In there, only because it has to be. Then I waited about 9 months to go back to my surgeon and say, hey, there's a problem. And I walked in the door, and he knew us quite well. He was a new surgeon. He was a cutting edge surgeon when I got him. I mean, just great guy. He said, how long you been puking? I said, oh, can you tell? He said, yeah. I said, and they have this thing called a fluoroscope. You go and stand in front of it, and they can see your surgery to see what it looks like. And they make you swallow to see how it's working.
Wow.
And so we went and did the fluoroscopy, and he was like, yeah, you got a problem. And so when they got in there, he said, I got to undo my own work, but we still need to keep you with this surgery. So do you want bypass or do you want a sleeve? And I was like, I ain't bypassing nothing.
Yeah.
You know, we put all that together for a reason and just staying that way. So I had a sleeve in 2015, and I've been chugging along ever since until about 6 months ago.
Yep.
I'm almost 58. I'll be 58 in a couple of weeks. And it was like I started the hormone thing, you know, yeah. gaining weight in the stomach area and all that kind of stuff. And come to find out, one of the things that they had been toying with the whole time during the fertility treatments was my thyroid.
Uh-huh.
They never could find the culprit with my thyroid. I even did this nuclear test where I had to swallow this isotope, and then they followed it through my body. But my new nurse practitioner who does my bioidentical hormones said, hey, your T4 is like almost non-existent. It's really, really low. You're hypothyroid.
Yikes.
Wow. Yeah. So we started treating that. We're still working on it, but it still wasn't resolving the issue. And the weight was starting to creep up, which me being an expert on me now, knowing everything
ma'am.
I know about how my body works, I knew something else was going on. And so I started reading about the GLP-1. My daughter actually has PCOS and is on semaglutide for the PCOS because her blood sugar was 60 when it's supposed to be about 19. And so they're like, oh, you know, we need to stop this in its tracks.
Right.
And so I did a little research before I ever let her get on it. And, you know, found that it would probably be good for both. And so when they opened Kiora up, I was like, I'd rather do it compounded.
Right.
For using it to work in harmony with all these other bioidentical hormones. So now I'm on GLP-1. It's helping. And in the beginning, the first week, it was too fast. And so I've started throwing some crossovers in there to slow it down, because that's the one thing you don't want to do is lose weight fast.
That's right.
So, but that's about it in a nutshell, Miss Amy. That's a long thing.
It's good though. I love it. You're so good at all your words. I love it. And I'm just so proud of you. I mean, like everything that you've been through, like it's just set you up. And you call yourself a hot mess, a train wreck, you know, like your body, but you have never stopped. And that's just such a great thing. And so I want you to speak to the woman that might have given up or is considering like this, nothing's I'm doing is working. I just forget it. What would you say to her?
I would say to her, don't give up. There were many times, and that story, I could have included all the ups and downs, even for the fertility thing. I mean, we would hit a high, an apex, and then we would hit a very, 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 very low. This is not a diet. This is a lifestyle And it's a mind-changing lifestyle. You have to renew your thinking about
food and weight loss
and who you are and what your identity is. That's what you have to decide first, is who am I? Am I somebody that's going to give up because society tells me that this ain't going to work? Or am I somebody who's going to persevere and, you know, keep my eye on the prize no matter how long it takes?
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing I would put with that is you can't do everything. There's so much new research coming out. There's always new research coming out. Just because everybody else is going protein nerd 3 doesn't mean you have to.
Yes, that's right.
I'm quite serious because there ain't no way this one can eat 30 grams of protein in a meal. If you guys see my 8, it's very small. And, you know, sometimes I don't even finish. And I'm trying really hard to add like a protein drink with it because I know that I need that. But just because everybody else is running amok and putting, you know, 40 grams of protein on their plate, which your body's not even going to process all that anyway.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to do it all.
Right.
That's like the debate over the whey and the collagen. Collagen makes you beautiful.
Yes.
Collagen makes your hair pretty.
Great your hair. Skin,
you know, fingernails. Now, my fingernails, not so much because of the thyroid issue.
Thyroid, but, yep. You know, You'll get there.
Yeah, I'm getting there. We're working on it. But, you know, I'm almost 58. Most people don't believe that I'm almost 58. Well, thank you, collagen. You know?
Yeah.
So that's what I would say. Never, ever give up, because there's always going to be something, some positive that you can find, even in the trials.
Yeah.
You know, if you are stepping through one of those swallowing glass and walking through fire times, like right now, I'm really walking through fire because, you know, I'm working on my last course for my master's degree, and I've stayed chained at my desk all day long, you know. But I make time to get up. Like I told you, I get up and walk the you at my house, you know, a few minutes to get a little moving in, you know, but there's always hope, you know, and that's the thing about it. You have to decide where your hope is. Where does your hope lie? You know, it can't be the scale. It can't be somebody else. It can't be doing what everybody does. It has to be doing what's right for you.
Amen. That's right. That's so good. Where does Trim Healthy fall into, even before GLP-1, you know, as you've walked this very long journey with a weight loss surgery? Tell me about how THM worked with that. And then I'd like to go into what you're doing now, combining all those things together.
When I was running, I had a friend from church that we would meet on Saturdays and run together. And she has a lot of food intolerances. And we actually both, I don't know if you know what TTAP is. Well, she and I both did TTAP together too. We actually both won one of her 60-day challenges and went to her retreat together. I actually met Teresa in person and everything. Yeah. And once you met her, she was your friend. She would text me, how you doing? All this kind of stuff. She's a great person, great program. You can go on YouTube and find me at the 2016 retreat.
Everybody,
you would have to introduce yourself. The first like 4 hours of the retreat, everybody got up there and introduced themselves. And it was, you know, a long spiel kind of thing. But anyway, so Carrie had been going to a chiropractor because she couldn't figure out her food intolerances. And her chiropractor, I think, is the one that told her to get on THM. And there's several people within the TTAP community when it was still going on that were THMers. And so I said, well, I'll give it a shot. You know, it's worth a try. And this was right when I was beginning to have problems with my lap band. And so I started out, I got the book. I'm a voracious reader and started reading, and was kind of, you know, intrigued by the idea. I had done something similar, but it was more on a training level. There's another system out there that suggested, you know, separating fuels, but it wasn't quite to this depth.
Right.
And so I started doing it, or I thought I was doing it. And so when I had my second surgery, when I had the sleep surgery done, things were moving kind of slow. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to do this THM thing with this new surgery because it's moving slow. But when you have to have a revision, a lot of times it does move slowly.
Right.
And my doctor, as great as he is, he's a great surgeon. They didn't offer a nutrition program. They just had you
really.
Meet, yeah, they had you meet with the nutritionist twice, and she would tell you how to, what carbs not to eat, you know, how to eat low fat. And I'm thinking, I knew then that fat was good for you, you know, certain fats. And so I was like, that's not fitting the bill. So they didn't provide that. And so I started doing THM, and all of a sudden I looked down and the weight that I had gained, and I had gained like almost 90 pounds back when my band failed, was just gone.
Wow.
You know, and I wasn't running. I was just walking and lifting light weights, you know, and that kind of stuff. So that's how I initially started with THM. And then fast
wow.
forward. Yeah, it was, I've been up and down a lot, you know, so, but that just speaks to my perseverance.
Yeah. Oh, you got it, girl. You win the award. I think
I'm hard-headed.
It's awesome. It really is.
I'm hard-headed. But then what I'm doing now is, well, back up just a little bit. I thought I was doing a really good job with THM. And then I started looking at coaches and getting a little more involved in some of the groups that are outside of the main page.
Right.
And I had done a couple of challenges with some other groups. And then I came across your challenge for the holidays and went, I've tried this coach, I've tried that coach, I've learned some things, but it's still not quite where it needs to be. And so I'll do the holiday thing. Well, I went, wow, Amy makes this really easy.
Oh, thanks. Yay.
Yeah. I mean, some of those other coaches, they, okay, here's this menu, you have to cook all this food. And I'm like, ain't happening here. I'm in graduate school, not cooking all that.
Yeah.
For two of us, one of us, which is not a trim healthy eater.
Right. Bless him.
I'm telling you. Well, his mama raised four very picky boys. I mean, come on now. She would cook a meal for each one of them. It was crazy.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, she would make like a pot roast, and then this one doesn't like corn, so I'm going to make him mashed potatoes. This one won't eat potatoes. I'm like,
oh, bless her.
Uh-uh.
That's not how we do things in Southern and healthy coaching, everybody.
She was, no, I'm not going to say that because that's, no, never mind. She was from the Northeast. We think we saw things differently.
Yes. And that's okay.
Yeah, and that's okay. And at the end, when she was, after she had her strokes right before she passed away for the last like 3 years of her life, this little face took care of her. So, yeah. You know, she had to do it my way then.
I love it.
She was diabetic. She was wanting to eat ice cream. I'm like, Mom, you can't eat ice cream. Let me make you some sugar-free ice cream. But it doesn't taste like Bluebell. I don't care.
Shut your mouth and just have this.
Yeah. Just eat this. She'd fight with me, but that's okay. I miss her. Anyway, so I realized that I had pseudo been doing THM. And
yes.
I knew that because I'm a reader and I understand what I read, and I'm a retired English teacher, so it makes sense. I critically think about everything. I understood what I was supposed to be doing, but it's different than seeing it in action. I understood the different kinds of S's and the different kind of E's and that kind of thing. But then went, but the way you teach us to do it, you fine tune it. We don't have to worry about all that extra stuff.
Thank you.
So it was easy to do. And like, I love the live in the kitchens because that gives me ideas for the week. You know, my problem right now is paring it down for the two of us.
Right.
Because I don't want a bunch of stuff left over, and I don't want it in my freezer, because if I put it in the freezer, I'll throw it away in a year because I didn't eat it. And I don't want to, I want to be a good steward with what I have. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So like trim train soup, I like the Italian version, but even making a quarter of it, I got to, you know.
It lasts forever. Farm it out to other people. Would you like a container of soup, ma'am?
Well, I have some healthy friends at church. There's a nucleus group of us at church now that we all do together. And so when I make soup, I call them and say, I'm bringing you soup to church. And they're like,
so I'm really hoping that you'll come to the retreat in November so I can put you on a cooking task.
I like to cook. That was the other problem.
You can bless us.
There you go. So trim healthy now is very easy, Amy. It's just, I get up. The days I work out, it's an S
yep.
for breakfast. The days I don't work out, it's an E. I'm kind of like you. I'm stingy with my EAAs, and they made me a little nauseous, even though
Oh,
I've
really?
yeah, if I'll take one of the True Lemon, the energy ones,
Yep.
put just a little bit, whatever
You
flavor.
can still find those.
Yeah, you want
I'm
some
so
of those?
jealous. I can't find them anymore at the store.
Huh, I have them at my Kroger. I'll send you some.
You know, ours closed.
Your Kroger did?
Yeah, so next Thursday I'm going to Jackson and there's a big Kroger. So I might, instead of, I usually do Whole Foods and Target, but I just did that last week. So I might stop by their Kroger, and it's huge though. It's huge. So I'll need an hour or two to walk the
Yeah, grocery stores and cookbooks.
My
Grocery
favorite
stores,
thing.
yes. Cookbooks are novels, and grocery stores are going and investigate.
Rashida told me when I met with her last summer that she was working on a new cookbook. I need to text her and see how that's going.
Yeah, because I like her stuff.
I do too. She did such a good feature. Okay, sorry, I interrupted you. Go
That's
ahead.
okay. Anyway, so what it looks like now is basically you, and it was so freeing to me when you said you can just have a collagen coffee in the afternoons for your snack and call it done.
And there are some people that will disagree with that, but I have to make THM sustainable for me. And that's just how I do it. It is protein and I'd be fine.
Well, I run into it because I get busy and I forget. Like yesterday, if you look at my eight, my Fuel Pool snack was so close to my dinner, my crossover dinner, because I'm in here working, trying to get this thing done for my degree, and I just flat out forgot. Of course, the GLP-1 makes you think about it, and that's the best thing about it. I would encourage anybody that has some sort of metabolic imbalance. It's not for everybody, but if you have the constant monkey chatter, food noise in your head, like I've always had, because
Can
I
you
was a
talk about that? I don't know that I have ever experienced it, and it is a whole new
It's a whole
concept
nother
for
level.
me. I've never even heard about it. I understand food addiction. I have experienced that. Emotional eating, check, check, check. But this, can you tell me, in y'all your words?
Yeah, what it is, the monkey chatter thing is that your brain, even though like I was a compulsive eater, I would be totally full. And of course, my leptin and ghrelin never worked right either. So I really didn't know satiety or if, what was going on, but I could feel almost nauseated and still keep thinking, oh, but there's more M&Ms in the bag, or just one more bite of something, or, it is a constant running stream of, well, you have this in cabinet, you have that in the cabinet, your lunch is coming up, have you thought about that? All
Oh
those,
my goodness.
yeah, all the time. And that's, and my mind is very busy anyway. I mean, you talk to me, one-on-one, so my mind is very active all the time. And so I'm trying to do the things that need to be done, and all that chatter is going on. And so for that fat girl in my mind to be shut up, I'm like, yeah, I'm enjoying that. And
Yeah, I bet.
they can cut on your stomach, they can reroute you, they can band you, but they cannot do anything about your
Brain. Yeah,
brain.
that GLP-1 hormone, that's when I taught my class. Of course, I felt like I had a good base. They did some training for us coaches that signed up to help some of the Kiora people. But when I was researching that about what that hormone does to our brain, so apparently mine works. it's not broken or missing or lacking. But I'm just so grateful that it does, because I cannot imagine that. I think for me, when you were talking about that with the food chatter, that's the way I am with my business. That never shuts up. So I can relate to that idea and that feeling. But that is just, it's just amazing how our bodies work. And I'm just so grateful that THM, as controversial as it has been, I think they were so wise. And I've known about this opportunity type thing for a while. And I'll be honest, I was shocked, but then when I didn't have a knee-jerk reaction. I really didn't care one way or the other, not to sound mean, but when I got to thinking more about it and learning more, and my mom had already been on it for a long time, and so I knew a lot, and I had a couple other clients that had been on it as well, for PCOS, actually, like your girl. But it is such a deal breaker, and it's How long did it take for you to notice the change of that, the mind part, the chatter and
Couple of
everything?
days.
Wow.
Yeah, just I'm noticing it that I took my third shot this week and I'm noticing it more now. Like yesterday when I missed that snack, I looked up and went, oh, I didn't have my snack, which is highly unusual for me. Like when we were first married or when Tabitha was an infant, my husband's a CPA, so he's gone from January to April. Yay, I get to see him April 15th, Monday.
Yay, party.
But I would literally buy a 1 pound bag of M&Ms, of Skittles, whatever, prior to weight loss surgery. And I'd eat the whole thing. And it wasn't because I wanted it. At one time, I'd eat the whole thing. It was because my mind kept saying, just take one more, just take one more, just take one more. It's like you're
Goodness
on a
gracious.
little wheel. It's
Yeah.
crazy.
Wow. I
But
have another one-on-one, and right before the end of our last one-on-one session, I was just really concerned about her because she did really good, with planning and being on plan. She really struggled with, they're very social people. They live in Texas too. But she really struggled with going out to eat and choosing on plan. The people that she went with loved her. She was like, they would support me if I would have gotten something on plan. They weren't gonna nanny nanny boo-boo, that kind of thing. But she said, I just couldn't do it. And then after just maybe a week or two of doing everything right, it was like she didn't have any more. She didn't have, it wasn't even self-control. It was just this, I don't know. She just couldn't put her finger on it. And I was just so concerned about her. And she had been a client for a really long time, off and on group, and she had done a little one-on-one when I did the mini blooms stuff back a while back and everything. And so whenever we had our last meeting, she had already said, I'm not going to continue because I'm just wasting your time and I'm not getting anywhere. And I really wanted to bring up GLP-1 with her. And she was like, well, I thought about it too, but I feel like it's a cop out and I'm ashamed and different things. And I'm like, I really think that's your answer. And so she went to her doctor and talked about it, and she's been on it, and she is such a different person. It is just incredible. On her ADAP, like when she puts her little thing, she answers some of those questions, and it's always a little smiley face. And I told her yesterday, I was like, I tear up when I see that. And she is struggling a little bit with not being hungry in the morning. And so she's doing collagen or the optimized whey with coffee. And I'm like, girl, just get your protein in, and it's just she has energy, she's exercising, she's got so much self-control. She said, we went to In-N-Out, which is one of my favorites. She goes, and I didn't eat the bun or the fries, and I was fine with it. And I'm like, oh my gracious. And so that just makes my heart so happy for somebody that I was so concerned about, just her health, because her medical history for her family isn't good, and that's really why she signed up for coaching, was to kind of jerk a knot in her own tail. And then even with everything that I was offering and giving and supporting, it just wasn't enough. And so I'm so grateful that she was able to do it. And I feel like you are experiencing that as well. How about your daughter? Do you feel like she's experiencing that?
Oh yes, she. In fact, she's 20 years old, and she doesn't want to hear the. And I, from the time she was born, knowing my medical history and all of this is hereditary and all that, I trained her from little bitty. I think I told you one time when she was little, she had to eat her vegetables before she got anything else on her plate to get her to like vegetables,
Right.
But when they get away from you and go off to school, it's a
I
whole
know. Yep.
thing. And her physios didn't really show up until she went to college. And so she, now that she's
Did she
on
struggle with weight as a child or teenager?
it, oh, her dad is very tall and thin, has always
And
been.
you little self, you so little.
Look like Mutt and Jeff. He's 6 foot 2 and I'm 5 foot nothing. So
I love it.
he thought I was lying when we were first dating about being 5 foot nothing. And then I showed him my driver's license. He was a police officer when I met him. So I showed
Really?
him, yeah. So I showed him my driver's license. He was like, you really are 5 foot nothing. I said, I told you.
I love it.
Oh, he's a hot mess too now. He's the king. But anyway, back to Tabitha. She, in the beginning, she was just reaping the rewards of the GLP-1 therapy. And now she's coming to me going, Mom, in fact, she calls me Every day after when she gets up, when she's getting ready to go to class or go to work, and then she calls me when she picks up her food. And so she'll call me and say, "Mom, look, I got a THM salad today at the market. It was
Oh.
a side salad with a boiled egg and tomatoes and lettuce and a little bit of ranch dressing." And I said, "Well, what kind of other protein are you going to add?" She said, "I got that Canadian bacon in my refrigerator." So
I love it.
we're getting there. She's starting to
Getting there.
realize. Yeah. And what I keep telling her is, you can take this medicine. And I feel like I'm going to be one of the ones that will have to take a maintenance dose once we get me where I need to be, just because of all the
Well,
stuff.
you have a lot of, things that are broken. I
Yeah.
mean, for lack of a better term.
It's true. And they can only remove so many parts, you know.
Right.
So,
That's right.
you know, the blood sugar thing is familiar. Both my parents, you know, type 2 diabetes. My dad has heart issues. My mom, you know, had several issues. So it's not a far cry for me genetically. But I also think, and I think I told you one time, that my mom was pregnant with me, they were doing the DES. And
Yes.
so I wonder if she was given DES during her pregnancy with me, because I'm the only child. I have two older sister and younger sister that has had these health issues.
Wow.
So it makes you wonder.
It
My
does.
sister.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. That's so mercy.
Yeah, my sisters would get pregnant and wouldn't want to tell me.
Oh, bless
My
them.
youngest sister got pregnant. Her kids were 13 and 11, and she got pregnant. And she wouldn't tell me for like 4 or 5 months. I said, "Sister, I can tell you're pregnant. You can just tell me.
Oh.
It's going to hurt me."
What's it like having sisters? I have two brothers, and they're twins, so they're like best friends.
When we were growing up, my oldest sister has always, well, let me explain. Twins are a little different, but when you go through the pecking order of siblings, you know, oldest to youngest, there's a joke that I tell that the first one, mom and daddy, that was their experiment. They wanted her to do everything.
Right.
They wanted her to try everything, be the perfect child. Number two comes along, well, they're still working on their experiment. So number two is just kind of there, and they change your diaper and feed you and keep you comfortable. And by the time they got number three, number one had worn them out so bad that number three did whatever she wanted. So number two in the middle, this is why we middle children are the way we are, is because nobody paid attention to us when we were younger. But we're friends. My older sister lives with my dad.
Okay.
Which is good right now. And her two kids live with my dad. With my mom having only passed away a couple of years ago. My dad's 82 and has some health
Okay.
problems. So it's good that she lives there. My younger sister actually lives in Tennessee. So when we go to the conference this summer, she can come pick me up from the airport. I haven't seen her.
Oh,
So
good. That's
there's
so
the mountains.
sweet.
And her youngest child, she had three children. Her youngest child, well, her middle child was bipolar.
Okay.
And then her youngest child is physically handicapped.
Oh, bless.
And so, but that girl, you want to talk about perseverance. That girl, they told her she would never walk. She was born and her legs were folded Indian style.
Wow.
And so, they started doing therapy on her upper body when she was like just 9 weeks old. They started, so she can open anything. She's always been we could never keep her out of stuff. But they told us she would never walk. She would never do well. She's very smart. She's in college. She's 21. She walks on her knees.
Really?
Yeah, she's in a wheelchair, like to go places.
What
But
is her diagnosis?
It's Goltz syndrome.
Huh.
Goltz. And so when she was born, she was like see-through. You could see she didn't have her oblique muscles. You could see right through her.
Oh
And they
my
had no
God.
idea this was happening at all.
Wow.
You know, so.
That's
But
hard.
that sister, I actually had her going on THM for a long, long time for that kiddo, you know, but that kiddo's a mess. That talk about hot mess. That one's a hot
Yeah.
mess. You know, but anyway, so having sisters is good. It's like you always have a best friend.
Yeah.
Right now, taking care of my dad. Sister and I have to talk behind his back. Because
Yeah.
you too, I'll do what I want to do.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
I love
But,
it.
I cherish them, you know,
Good.
I cherish the
Good.
relationships.
Yeah, that's sweet. Wes's sister is 10 years younger than us, and she was very young when Wes and I started dating. And then I have a lot of girl cousins, but there was one that was around our house a lot. And so I kind of see them as my little sisters, but yeah, so sweet. It's interesting to me sometimes that I ended up with three girls, you know, and they're to me, as they get older, like I'm still their mama, of course, but there is a very fun level of friendship too that we can joke. But and sometimes they push it, and I'm like, okay, whoa, you're a little get borderline getting disrespectful, you know. But that doesn't happen too often. But they're so fun. I love having teenage girls. I love it. It's a new experience, but I do love it. But it's, you know, having a 19-year-old and a 7-year-old is crazy town, you know,
Yes.
because the boys, they're like, well, they can do do do. I'm like, they're like 10 years older than you, buddy. You know, you'll be there one day.
Don't push it. N
No,
just
don't. Oh
let
my gosh, no,
them
don't.
enjoy it.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I wanted to ask you one thing. I know you're very close to the Lord. How would you feel like your relationship with God, how did it carry you through all of these years of just pushing through and keeping up with everything, that kind of stuff?
Well, going back to the whole fertility thing, we changed doctors, reproductive endocrinologist in the middle of it. We didn't realize we were in the Cadillac Clinic in Houston. Every time we walked through the doors, it was $600. Well, we didn't have that kind of money then. I didn't realize my husband was refinancing cars and the house and stuff all
Oh,
the time to keep us going as far as doing the fertility treatments because it's
yes,
very expensive.
blessing.
And it was something we both wanted. And, you know, just a word about my honey, he never said no through the whole thing. Through this health journey, he's never said no.
Give him a big old hug for me, okay?
I will. You know, the GLP-1 thing, when I talked to him about it, he was like, if that's going to keep you healthy, do it.
Yeah,
So,
what a
anyway,
blessing.
I was raised, and not to tout denominations at all, but it plays into the whole thing. I was raised a Southern Baptist, of course. Where I live, that's
Yeah, me too.
the He was, his parents were from New Jersey. He was born in New Jersey, but moved down here when he was like a year and a half old. And they were evangelicals, they were Lutherans. And so when we decided we were going to get married, then we started going to his church, which was not a Baptist church. And the teachings are quite different there.
They are, yes.
We were there for a while, and I kept saying, you know, this just doesn't feel right. This church, you know, we're not teaching enough the word, you know, and all that kind of stuff. That was all he knew. So when we switched doctors, and she told us we had never should have never been doing inseminations, we should have always had been doing IVF. So those seven inseminations we did, all that money, all that time, all those drugs I'd pumped into myself, you know, I feel like I'd been sucker punched. So at that point, we were still praying. We didn't pray that much together, but we started praying together more then. And then we started our IVFs, and we did three cycles unsuccessfully. We started a fourth and had to abandon. The fifth one, we decided we were going to read the book of First John to him from the doctor because she was in Houston. So every time we went to the doctor, we read First John on the way there and on the way back. And it started to strengthen our faith. The reason God made us wait is he had it already answered our prayers, but it was, you got to wait because y'all need to grow up a little bit. Y'all need to mature as Christians first and really understand, you know, what it means for me to be with you. And so at our weakest point, he showed up big time, you know. So we have grown. We've changed churches. Tabitha was two, so we've been at the church we're at now for 18 years. But my husband has really grown in the Lord, and I'm very thankful for that. Like, I started listening to this app called the Daily Audio Bible about 4 years ago, and you listen to the whole Bible in a year.
Wow. Ooh, tell me that again. Daily
The
audio
Daily
Bible.
Audio Bible is called DAB. You can either access it on your mobile device or you can do it online, either one. But these guys are from Tennessee. The people's names
I
are
love Tennessee.
Biden Hart and Jill Parr. Jill Parr used to be a Christian music professional, but he's a pastor, and his first job was in the music industry. And so he decided that his calling was to share the word of God. And so 19 years ago, he started just podcasting the Bible every day. And then it's grown from there. They have in
So is
different
it him
languages.
reading it?
He reads it. His daughter and his wife take turns reading a chronological version of the Bible.
Really?
Their son Ezekiel, their last son, they have five kids. Their youngest son reads, and they call it DAB Kids. So he reads like for 3 minutes for kids. That'd be good for your boys.
Yeah, thank you. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's
I
great
have the
stuff.
Bible app. I don't know. It's called something else. But anyway, it's just so many clicks to get to where I need to be, and then I mess it up. And so I'm going to try this out.
This actually is just it lists the day. You just click on what you want to listen to. I listen to both just Brian reading the Bible, and it's kind of like the liturgy. You get Old Testament, New Testament, Psalm and Proverb every day. And
Yeah.
then China and Jill read through the Bible chronologically, and each week they change versions, so they're not just staying with one version either. So
Yeah, cool.
anyway, I started to listen to that, and I've listened to it for about 4 years, the whole way. Even on vacation and stuff, I just pop my AirPods in. But he started listening to that. I didn't know it. And so now every morning when we get up, I have to put heat on my eyes, and that's a whole nother thing. But I sit on the couch and I listen to it. So he has started eating his breakfast sitting on the couch so we can listen to it together.
That's so
So
sweet.
God has really brought us a long, long way. And I know that he's been with us the whole time. Sometimes it was hard to see that. Like I would get really mad and frustrated,
Yeah.
but he's been so good the whole way through. I mean, Tabitha, statistically, with the things that went on with my pregnancy, not only did I have a hard time getting pregnant, a hard time keep staying pregnant.
Yeah.
Statistically, she shouldn't be here, but she's 20 years old now. So,
Yeah.
you know,
Well, I get to meet her. She's coming. She's gonna stay with you, right? I
yeah,
think.
she's in the hotel.
Okay,
So
good. Very
yeah, I'll get
good.
to meet her.
Good.
She'll be working on school. She's got one more psychology class to take, and then spring and fall. I mean, fall and spring next year is just her clinicals and all that stuff.
Yeah,
So
good. Oh, that's so awesome. That's so
she's a
awesome.
great kid, you know.
I'm sure.
Mom.
I'm sure. That's so awesome. Well, girl, thank you so much. I know this is going to bless so many hearts. I know I love talking to you every week. So, so good. And I just want to tell you how much you blessed me. You really have. You're always so kind, and using the word compliment isn't what you're doing, but it's so encouraging and uplifting to me. And I really appreciate it. I've already cried once with Jessica's. I recorded a podcast early and I was crying. You still make me cry too.
Don't cry.
But I do appreciate you so much. I really do.
And I appreciate you. Thank you for asking me to be your guest today.
You're so welcome. You did an awesome job. You want to tell them bye?
Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Y'all have an awesome week. Thanks so much for listening. Hey, hit subscribe or follow on your favorite podcast listening app, and I will talk to you guys next week. Bye, y'all.